Loner, a sentimentally comedic podcast. Hey, Josh, what's up? It's another episode of Wild Loner. How are you?
So you're still going to start out the episode by screaming in my ears like that? pegging out your mic levels. Okay, one, two.
Hey, Josh, what's up?
Okay, hello, Josh. How are you today? Welcome to another episode of Wild Loner. I'm your host, Jenna McGilvery. Every time we do an episode, I try to adjust my voice so that it's not as grating. Actually, I do have a hilarious story about this. I was at a family dinner last night with my friend and his family, and his grandparents were in attendance, and they are 90. And I was telling them that I received one review commenting on the on my voice and how grating and irritating it is. And then at one point I said, I can't remember exactly how I said it. I think I said, yeah, so anyway, you know, I haven't recorded the episode yet for this week. And then the 90-year-old grandma said, is it on account of your grating voice?
Nice.
And no, it's not. That was not the reason, Grandma. It was because I got lazy. What am I even talking about right now? But anyway, so the content of today's podcast is going to be all about yachting, my start in yachting. Josh, actually, the way that I did meet him was because he worked audio and sound, and I'm not really sure what else you did. It sounded a little bit suspicious on another boat that I worked on. And I want to talk about my start in yachting, yachting in general, and then my experience on Below Deck and how, you know, TV Below Deck is a little bit different than non-TV Below Deck. So does that sound like a topic that you'd like to discuss, Josh?
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in that.
Okay.
I'm interested in everything Below Deck.
Oh, you are, right? Yeah.
Yeah. On TV and off.
Yeah, right.
Below Deck after dark.
Exactly. Well, I think that's the grand audience is always interested in that. They want to see, they would rather see people, you know, in chaos and having sex than doing their job. But then they'll complain about you not doing your job. So it's a lose-lose situation. But anyway, we'll get into that. Okay, so I'll just start with the first time I ever left Canada. I went to Ireland, as we referenced in last week's episode, where I had the boyfriend with the unsavory habits. And when I was finished in Ireland, I was there for a full year. I left and I went on a traveling excursion. I rented a car with one of the chefs that I worked with in Ireland and a couple from Australia that we happened to meet in Munich. So we went actually to go for Oktoberfest. It was a very interesting time because we did not plan anything. And we ended up getting quite rained out. It was actually very hard to get into any of the beer houses. I don't know. I don't know what the trick was because we only got into one and we didn't have to do anything special, but we got into one. And then at one point, an interesting story is myself and one of the other girls that was there, this guy was sitting at our table and he was like pretty attractive and he was wearing like Lederhosen. Oh, shit. I need to know how to pronounce that. You know the things, the suspenders and the shorts and the whatnot and the hat and everything. He was all decked out and he was German. And he took us to a house party and things got real weird real quick. He walked us through a dark park and told us about some very violent crimes he had committed. And it was at that moment that I realized, shit, Jenna. You know, you're from this small place and you just can't trust people in Lederhosen who take you into bushes. and tell you everything's going to be okay. But actually, everything was okay. But it was one of those things where you have to get your back up. And I've been in lots of traveling experiences where I've taken chances, but things have happened where, you know, you sense your spidey senses go off and you think, I got to get out of this situation, toot sweet. And that was one of those situations. Anyway, but we had had tents set up at this campground and we got rained out. So everything was soaking wet and we had nowhere to stay and there were no hotels or anything. And we ended up sleeping in a hostel and it was actually like pretty innocent. We knocked on a door and we said, please, can you just let us like share one of your bunks to the guys that were in there? And they obliged and they were not handsy. They didn't do anything. Literally like fell asleep in some random person's bunk bed and woke up in the morning and was like, well, thank you. And then just left. And that was the end of it. So I don't know. People have been very kind and innocent with me in times that they may not have been. So I feel very, shouldn't say lucky, should say happy that, you know, I've met some gentlemen along the way. So anyway, eventually we ended up in Barcelona. We met the chef, Amanda. Her friend had an engineer who worked on yachts named Doc. He was this, he was another Australian. He was a really energetic character. And we met him and we sat on the beach all together and we drank sangria. And he was telling us about yachting. And he was like, yeah, you don't need a visa. You don't have to speak any different languages. You get paid an abundance of cash. They feed you, they house you, and then you get to travel the world. And I was like, how have I never heard of this before? What? And then I realized it was because I'm from Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. But I had never even thought about it. And as some of you might know, Barcelona is a mecca of yachting. And so there's a few places. There's Barcelona, that's a major hub for yachting. There's Antibes, France, which is also a hub, not quite as much as Barcelona. And then Lauderdale is quite possibly the biggest. And those three places are kind of the place to go if you want to try to score yourself a job. So as soon as Doc told us about this, he said, Doc told us to dock walk, which was the act of walking along all of the dock line of Barcelona, where all the yachts were parked, and you would ring the little bell and you'd say, hello, ma'am or sir, I would like a job. And they would either say yay or nay. And I got a lot of nays, because I looked completely ignorant and I was ignorant. I had no idea what kind of skills I needed. And I actually do recall when eventually I did get a job. So I got a job on this beautiful Fed ship. For anyone who is familiar with yacht brands, Fed ship is one of the ones that are quite, you know, high up there on the luxury line. And the man who hired me was a chief steward, and he is one of my favorites. He's still my friend. I love him. He's a great guy. And he hired me, and he is very blunt and very sarcastic. He's a Frenchman. And really and truly, I love French people. I love them. And this is just my perception. So every French person that I've engaged with, I love their... Maybe they don't even mean to be blunt. I don't know. They're very blunt and very like factual. And they're also, I feel like, very like they know what's going on, and they have an eloquent way of talking about life, which is a mixture of fact and romance intertwined. And I just think it's beautiful. So he was this guy most of the time, and he hired me. And of course he said, you know, first off, I shouldn't have hired you because look how you're dressed. You look ridiculous. I was wearing like these short shorts, and it was just like, you know, not very professional. And he said, your resume sucks. I don't know who helped you with it, but looks like a piece of shit. And, you know, you need to get your shit together. And I was like, no problem. Let me get my shit together. I'll do anything you want me to do. Cause I was so thankful to have a job. And, he actually let me, I rented a car and I drove I can't remember how many, 3 or 4 hours to go to Antibes, France, where he actually had a house. And he let me stay in his house by myself while I did the training course necessary for yachting, which is called the STCW, which is not an acronym, but it's a training course for firefighting, first aid, all that kind of stuff. And it's what is required of you to work on any boat for safety. So yeah, it was like, it was really lovely. And then as soon as I got hired, we left Barcelona like a couple weeks later, and we did the transatlantic to the Caribbean. Within a month of joining that yacht, the owners of the yacht bought every crew member a Rolex, and they had never even met us. They were extremely generous and some of the most lovely owners I've worked for. Particularly the guy on the owner of that yacht was very grateful for everything that he had achieved in life, and he was humble, and I really appreciated that. Because you did not always see that in yachting. And I was on that boat for 2 years. And then I met this prickhole. The guy in Australia who took me away. And then...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And then I had actually planned on quitting yachting and going back to university in Canada. And I met this guy and I fell in love instantly. And I remember we were in the ocean of St. Barts, and I remember we were swimming, and it was so beautiful, and it was such a romantic, nice moment. And I said, where do we go from here, you know? And it was like, I'd known him for a couple of weeks. And at the time, that wasn't a pattern for me. It is now. But, and he said, well, I don't know, you know, maybe we could meet in Indonesia or who knows. And I, you know, nowadays I would have felt really stressed. Like I'd be like, well, no, I need to know a plan. But at that time I very blindly trusted what was going to happen. And maybe that was instinctual because it happened very quickly, because I returned to Canada, and very soon after, he asked me if I wanted to come work on the yacht that he was working on. And I thought, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? Am I going to go with this guy and leave, you know, the school that I had gotten into and my plans of education, or take a chance on this guy? And I chose the penis. Classic Jenna maneuver. So I went back to yachting, and I worked on 3 different yachts with him. And then, as you know, or as some of you know who listen to the show, I moved to Australia with him, and then everything went to shit. And then after that, I actually continued. Well, I went back to university. I did my degree, but in between my degree, I worked on a yacht as well. And I worked on one of the coolest yachts. I'm going to mention this because I worked on a 300-foot yacht, and I can't say who it was owned by, but I worked with the best crew, and I can say I worked with a girl that I used to work with, or I didn't work with her, but I knew her from yachts years ago, and her name was Monica, and she was the what's called a purser on a yacht, and that's higher up from the chief stew, and that's what you get on a larger yacht than what you might be familiar with on scene on Below Deck. So a purser does more of the accounting, all of the organizing for crew, medical things like that. They do more of the paperwork side of things. And then the chief stew at the time was a good friend of mine, Sophie, nicknamed Gooch, the Gooch. And the Gooch eventually became the purser, and she had another Australian girl named Rocky take over as chief stew, not Rocky from Below Deck, but her nickname was Rocky. And then she hired her two Australian sisters. So it was three Australian sisters and I working together with another Australian. And I gotta say, me and those girls had some of the best times. I don't know. We had the best humor. It was so much fun. I loved that boat so, so, so much. And the guys were all on the same page too, except for one that did hate me on that boat. He was South African. He really didn't like my sense of humor, but you get that. And yeah, it was overall, yeah, we just had so much fun together. Josh, I can't even explain it. We would like just piss ourselves laughing at the stupidest stuff.
How long did you stay on that yacht?
Well, I was only actually on there for 6 months because I was in university. And so I had planned on staying. So this is when I was doing my social work degree. So what had happened was I had a final year of university to complete. And I thought, you know what? I really miss yachting and I want to go back. And so my intent was just to stay. It was this really good job opportunity. So I wanted to stay on the yacht. And then I found out that I couldn't just not complete my university education at that time. I couldn't defer. So I had to leave and it was really sad. But I've since been to Australia and I've hung out with a gooch at her house. And she's now married to one of the engineers that was on the yacht at the time. And just to give you an idea, yeah, this particular yacht has up to 42 crew members. And God, it was a good time. It was just a really good time. There was such a mixture of, you know, when you have 42 crew members, you have a real mix of people and you get to kind of pick and choose your groups of who you want to hang out with. And there was a lot of artsy types on that boat. And I really appreciated that because there was a lot of good conversations and, you know, I didn't feel like I was getting dumber by the minute, poking things with Q-tips and cleaning out holes and laying in bilges and scrubbing out bilges. You know, I had these conversations that were thought-provoking. And so for me at the time, it was exactly what I needed. So I enjoyed every minute of that. So that was one of the better yachts I've worked on too. I've worked on quite a few good ones, but that was quite a good one.
It sounds pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was really awesome. Oh yeah, and then also, the first yacht I ever worked on, which I said I got the job in Barcelona. So the owner of that yacht, his brother owned a yacht, and I ended up dating an engineer who worked on that yacht. And so we would often be the two yachts would be tied up together, and these were 200-foot yachts. So they would often be like tied up together at anchor. We have remained friends too. And since then, so I actually, this is a terrible story. He was away on holiday and I ended up cheating on him with another guy who worked on the boat. Jenna. No, I know. It's terrible. But then everyone told him about it and he was kind of like,
of course you're on two boats.
Oh yeah. But if you knew him, so we're still friends. His name's Grant. And Grant is like, I mean, I'm not going to totally speak for him because he does have a wife now who would know him far better than I do. But back then he's a funny fellow. He probably won't listen to this because he has no interest in anything that I do that is of interest to me, but but he would just be like, they would have told him, hey, just a heads up, Jenna cheated on you with so and so, and he'd be like, oh yeah, well, you win some, you lose some, and that's kind of his attitude. And and since then, again, we've remained friends. A couple of years ago, I went to Australia, and I met up with a bunch of my old friends, including the Gooch. And I met up with Grant and I actually stayed at Grant's house with his wife and him. And his wife is from the same province as I am, Ontario, and kind of a similar town. And she is such a lovely person. I love her. I like her more than Grant. And I'm surprised that she's even with him because, you know, he's repulsive. Just kidding.
Well, you win some, you lose some, yeah. You know?
No, he's a lovely guy. And he and I love ripping into each other. He calls me a loser all the time. But they were nice enough to let me stay at their house. And this is the thing that I love about traveling and a lot of yachties in general is that, you know, I definitely have the mentality, and you meet people that, who have this mentality as well. Most of the people that you meet have this mentality where everyone loves to travel. Everyone loves to experience, you know, people of different cultures and whatever. And my doors have always been open to anyone who I've met that I've interacted with traveling, and they're more than welcome to stay with me. And I, you know, stay in touch with a lot of people that I've worked and traveled with. And that means more to me than a kick in the teeth. So I'm pretty thankful for that, honestly, because I've met, yeah, just so many wonderful people. And some of them suck, and then you never hear from them again. But overall, it's I'd say that's one of the best things about yachting and traveling is the people that you meet and the stories that you have. And it's kind of sad in a way because it's, say, for example, like the Australian sisters, I loved them so much. And it was like, God, we had good times. And then it's like, damn it, I'm not going to see them. You know, like it's like, when am I going to see them all together again? And that's kind of hard. And you meet these wonderful people. And I'd love them to be my best friends, but unfortunately they live in an entirely different continent. And, you know, especially now with COVID, Australia doesn't let anyone in. So
who are the Australian sisters?
So that was Gooch. And then,
oh, okay.
And then the other one's name was Fezza or Fairy. Literally her name is Fairy, but everyone called her Fezza. And then the other one's name was Laura, and her nickname was Toon.
Were they like legitimately sisters?
Or oh, not? Yeah, 100% sisters. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
Yeah.
I think you left that part out.
So, cool. So Gooch, Fairy, and Toon. Yep. Those.
Lovely bunch.
They were. They were. And that's the other thing I love about Australians. They all give each other nicknames. Mine was Jezza sometimes Jezzy, sometimes Jezzy Jezza.
Jizzy.
Sometimes Jens.
Sometimes Jizzy.
Shut up!
Hey, I also wanted to mention, I don't know if it's just Grant that calls you a loser from time to time.
Oh, no, it's multiple people. Grant, I mean, you're not special. I mean,
yeah, Grant.
Come up with some fresh material. Yeah. Everyone calls me a loser.
Come on, Grant.
Including my mom.
Be a little bit more original.
Yeah. Actually, I talked to him the other day and he was like, what's up, you stupid fuckface? That's how he talks to me. And those are terms of endearment. But isn't that like a nice term of endearment? I don't know. Would you prefer somebody say, hey, what's up, fucker? Or would you prefer somebody to say, hi, Josh, I just wanted to see how you were?
I guess it depends on the context.
Yeah. So I'm going to just say I'd always prefer somebody to call me a fuckface. That's how my mom refers to me when she calls me. I don't know. It's really, you know, it's just the precedent we've set, and I've allowed her to do that since I was.
That makes me feel like a loser because I'm always so nice to you. I'm like really polite.
Yeah. And I'm like, what the?
I was like, hey, Jenna, what's happening?
No, that's just how we start our podcast. Like, you know, when we're not recording. Actually, no, you're very nice to me. I can't deny it.
Typically, I'm pretty nice. I'm pretty nice. I mean, I do make some jokes from time to time, but.
You do. And I welcome them. So, you know, the closer we get, the meaner you'll get, and the more I'll accept you into my circle. Just to
get
let
on
you
with
know.
The podcast, fuckface.
That's right. I've trained you well. Okay, so then beepity beep bop beep. Then there's some beepity beep bop. So I finished my degree eventually, and then I worked in social work for a while, and then I was like, fuck this shit. I'm going back to yachting. And also, by the way, I should cut that out. My mom told me not to swear so much. She said it sounds very uncouth.
Okay, gotcha. Well, your mom that calls refers to you as fuckface. Yeah. Asked you to please cut out some of the cursing because you're a little bit uncouth. Yes, mother. Will do. I'm on it.
I'm like, I learned it from you, mother. She's going to be listening to this turning red face and say, Jenna, I did not appreciate that last podcast. Right. It was not one that I appreciated in the least. Anyway, so yeah, then I was bebopping around, working on some different yachts, and I worked primarily in Florida after that. It just seemed like I never worked in Florida, and then it was all of a sudden I was just in Florida for like 2.5 years, which was nice. I had a lovely captain that I worked with. I had a lovely team. So then I'm trying to think about the time frame. Oh, yeah. Then I left for a bit. That's when I went to Indonesia. I'm going to tell that story in another podcast. I did talk about that with the oatmeal bowl, but I want to talk a little bit more about the sailing and the actual travel of Indonesia. We'll talk about that one day. So then I was on a boat in Italia, and coincidentally, I was on a yacht that was two slips down from Parsifal, the yacht used in Below Deck Sailing Yacht. And I had heard rumblings that it was potentially being used for Below Deck, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then lo and behold, the way that I was cast was I got contacted on Instagram by a casting director, and she said, you look great. You'd be great for Below Deck. You look like a real hoot. Maybe not in quite those words, because she was not from Middle America.
Hey, now, I'm from Middle America.
You look like a real hoot, Nanny. But and then she said, would you be interested in applying? I said, heck yes. Because to be honest, Below Deck had always appealed to me to be on, because the reason is, and they asked you this, what is your reason for wanting to be on Below Deck? And the reason is because I really love any kind of life experience that is different than the norm. And I get very bored when I live a regular old life. So I was like, yes, this sounds super exciting, especially when you get paid to do it. So yes, I applied. And then there was a series of Skype video chats with producers, and they decided whether or not you would be appropriate for television. And they made a terrible decision because everyone hated me.
Did they think you were lively enough?
No, they said, come on, put some spunk into it, gal. Put some spunk into it. You look like you don't drink coffee.
Yeah, they didn't know what they're asking for, did they?
Yeah. And yes, it was a pretty quick process, because you didn't have to go anywhere, because most of the people obviously that they cast are in various places and ports all around the world. So they did everything virtually. And I was cast. I was super stoked. I flew back to Canada. I got my hair did. I got my teeth whitened. I got my nose job done. Just kidding. I did not have a nose job, which we all know, because everyone commented on how ugly my nose is. Matches that horse face.
And yeah, you got a boob job and a nose job and really been a hit.
Yeah, I could have done all of those things, but instead I just chose to be my old ugly self.
Damn it.
And yeah, that was like pretty much it. And then it was like, again, very fast and furious. Like, it was like from nothing to like, all right, we're going to fly you to Corfu, Greece in a couple weeks. And again, I will reiterate, as I've said multiple times before, that I am so very thankful for my experience, because I know not everyone has those kinds of opportunities. And it was never lost on me that it was such an exciting experience for me personally. But I will say that there were some negatives to the experience. Mm. And we did briefly talk about that. And some of it's just like, you know, just some of the online hatred that I personally have difficulty with. A lot of people do say that, you know, just let it go and don't let it bother you. But I cry at night sometimes, and I am not ashamed to admit it.
I'm always like, Jenna, pull yourself together and stop reading that shit.
I know. And then I'll be like, but she said that I look like a dumb horse face, and that I'm a bitch, and that I'm a C-U-N-T. But I don't know. It's more so that I want to kind of understand the psychology of that. But anyway, we kind of talked about that. But then again, like we've also talked about, there is a multitude of amazing people I've met as a result. And again, I am just going to choose to be positive as often as I can, and just say that the whole thing was just a wicked experience for me. And Yeah, I'm just super thankful. And there were goods and bads, and that's called fucking life. Get used
to
it.
Yeah, they call that life.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. The fucking facts of life.
And now we have a copyright infringement.
Yeah, can we play that or not?
Yeah, we can play it.
I mean, who's listening to this? Let's be honest. Right. My mom.
You owe us royalties. Here's, can you split a penny in half?
Yeah. Oh, man. So, yeah, let's see. Oh, yeah. So,
you think your mom's really listening to this?
No, she told me long ago she was done with it. And okay, especially after today's episode, she won't be listening anymore. Just kidding. My mom's my biggest supporter, and my mom loves me very much. And that's why I'm such a grounded individual, because my mom has showed me nothing but unconditional love my whole life. And that sounded like I just read that off of a piece of paper, but I did not. That's actually dead serious true. I have.
I know you memorized that long ago.
No, I have a lovely mom. Don't you ever talk anything about her, Josh, or I'll fucking come to middle America and punch you in the gonads.
Actually, I'm a flyover state, so you probably won't land here. That's what they call us. This place.
Well, I'll travel there.
You don't want to? Oh yeah, do it.
Yeah, I'll travel by bicycle.
If you don't mind, will you bring your mom?
No. And she did not appreciate that kind of humor. So anyway, all I was going to add to that was one of the things that I would say, and I can never disclose who I worked for or who I worked with, but many of them were famous individuals and that I encountered and well-known, heiresses, celebrities, billionaires. Okay, so what I've realized is that the people with billions of dollars are less happy than those of us who have very little in comparison. And so I would really say that money does not buy happiness. And I know everyone says, and I say it too, well, I don't think that's true, because if I had millions of dollars, I know I'd be happy, because I actually have a plan of what I would do with that money. And it would be for the good of the world, or a small percentage of the world. But I really do feel like when you don't have anything left to chase, then what is giving you happiness? And I think it's harder to find that, because we're always chasing these kind of monetary things, right? Boats, cars, houses, TVs, Google Nests.
Yeah, I mean, I can agree with that. I mean, but it's, you know, definitely not across the board completely.
No.
Very, very happy millionaires and billionaires, and there's some very unhappy middle class and poor folk.
Oh, yeah.
But I do understand what you're saying, because I know a lot of poor You've people encountered that are it. Super happy.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, like you.
You know, like myself. I don't have much money, and I do pretty well.
Like me. I'm poor too.
Exactly.
Right? But no.
Just a couple poor folk with podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. We're just trying to make money here. Actually, that was what the person said about my irritating voice. She said it sounds like one irritating voice and an empty bank account trying to make Ouch. A living. And I'll have to tell you, whatever the hell your name was, you are right.
Hey, they didn't talk shit on me, did they? Did they say I had a sexy voice?
I'm really sorry. I just don't think they noticed you.
It's like these people sit here and call you names, tell you how you look, and they talk about your voice, and they don't even mention me.
No, Josh, many people
I'm
love
angry.
You. I'm angry.
Very angry.
No, many, just kidding. Many people enjoy you. I've heard more compliments about you than me, so there'll come a time I'll have to cut you loose because... Yeah. Oh, actually, speaking of which, that's a weird story. I'm just going to tell this really one quick story that's totally unrelated to anything we've been discussing. This was about a year ago. I was online dating, and this guy I got matched up with, I was like, fuck, he's really hot. He was super hot. And we were both into stand-up comedy, and he was like, oh, I do stand-up comedy too. Look at these videos. And then we shared that, and it was so interesting. And then he kind of ghosted me, and I was like, what the fuck, asshole? So I called him out about it, because that's what I do. And, you know, in a polite way, like, hey, I thought we had some good conversation. What happened? And I was so thankful for his response because it was so honest. And he said, to be honest with you, Jenna, you like stand-up comedy and I like stand-up comedy. And I don't entertain the idea of being in a relationship with anyone who could potentially be funnier than me. And I appreciated his response, but I also thought he was a big old fucking loser. Because who wouldn't want to laugh with somebody?
I know, but I think you made that story up.
I swear to God, I am not joking you. That is 100% true.
We're going to see some screenshots on the...
Oh, yeah. Like I definitely sent it to some of my friends, so I will...
Good.
I hope I can find it because I swear to you. And if you're listening, I can't remember your name. You're tall. You're blonde. You wear glasses. That's all I know. You live in Vancouver. That's all I know about you. But
you're funny.
I don't know that he was, to be honest.
I thought you said he sent you some clips.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't. I don't remember if it was funny or not, but okay. I disregarded them after his stupid comment. But like, I'm sorry. And if you are a listening person, get some balls or like get some confidence because it's okay to have multiple funny people. Do you think you're going to be in the stand up community and be the only one who makes people laugh? Because by the way, just a heads up. You are not doing that for a living, so I would make sure.
Okay, can I'm not your only threat. Say?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
that I had so an irritating voice.
I thought he was going to say, "Hey, fuck face, your voice sucks."
Yeah.
No, that's not at all what I thought. So I thought you were going to say he ghosted you, and then you're like, "Hey, how come he ghosted me? I don't appreciate it." And when he wrote back, it was going to say, "Well, honestly, this is his wife." And stop texting us.
No, that's never happened to me. That's never happened
okay.
to me.
Good, good. Okay, so the people that you've experienced on these dating sites and dating apps have been single.
Yeah, well, I mean, that I know part. Of. I don't know. I don't really meet up with too many of them because they get too irritated by my voice before things take off. Hey, do you want to have a phone call? And then they're like, okay. And then soon after, they're like, well, anyway, I've got some dinner plans. I better head out. See you later, Jenna.
new number. Who dis?
Yeah. So anyway, if there's anyone out there that can stand my voice, my number is 555-555-5555.
Oh, shit. That's also the number for Ghostbusters.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have any ghost stories?
Ghost?
Talking about? Yeah. Have you had any?
I do, actually. Experience? Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, tell me.
If you recall the cottage camp that I grew up at that was in the middle of nowhere that had no phone service whatsoever and no electricity.
Yeah, with the bear attack.
Yes, the bear attack where I pooped my pants. That's the one.
The shart attack.
It wasn't a shart, Josh. It was like a whole pail. Yeah, shart week. That was a good one.
Okay,
Shart Week, yeah. So I'll go from Shart Week to – so it was Shart Week, and then my grandma passed away. And
ouch.
But my dad and I didn't know this because no one could communicate with us out there. And we woke up for breakfast, and we were sitting at the breakfast table. And as we were sitting at the breakfast table, a moose – came right to the window and looked in on us eating our oatmeal. And we were like, oh my God, this is so crazy. And then my dad said, get your camera, take a picture. I took a picture. And then guess what was on the picture when it was developed?
Is it a picture of your grandmother?
No, there was nothing there. The moose was not there. And it was at the exact hour that she died.
Oh shit, that's crazy.
So she came back as a moose. Told us to fuck off, and she called me a fuck face and then left.
I mean, there's a lot to pull apart in that story, but my take from this story is Jenna eats a lot of fucking oatmeal.
Yes! I don't know why I was so... Yeah, that was really loud. I'll try that again.
I don't know why this bitch eats so much oatmeal. It's crazy.
Oh my God. Speaking of which, okay, I do have another story. Fuck.
About this oatmeal?
This is about oatmeal. And this, like, you actually have to keep all of this in here because this is quality material. So okay, I was telling this story last weekend at a party. And I was fucking crying. And you know when you're like crying, trying to get a story out, and the people don't know what you're going to say, so nothing's funny. Right, so I'm right, like, right. I'm like, just a second, oh my God, guys, just wait. It's going to be so funny. It's going to be so funny. And they're sitting there just like blankly staring like, when's this girl going to get this through? Anyway, so I was in Ireland and I was at a party and I drank a lot. And then I was like, oh God, I got to walk home. So I was walking home by myself. And as I was walking home, I was like, oh, I'm going to throw up. So I threw up. Just wait, Josh. It gets better. So I threw up and I threw up, no word of a lie, a fucking brick of oatmeal. Like it was a brick of what looked like oatmeal. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Look, I just threw up a whole brick of oatmeal. And I looked all around and obviously I was by myself. No one was there to witness it. And I was like, walked home and I was like, I remember it coming out of my mouth and it was literally like, it was like bloop, like a block of oatmeal that just chunked and it just like stayed in a square on the friggin' sidewalk. So then I tell this girl that I work with and then she tells me it's called churn and it's basically when your stomach is digesting the food and it's not yet ready to be pooped out, it's called churn. So that's when I threw up.
Oh my God, it's almost like pooping out of your mouth.
Well, no, it's not poo, it's fucking oatmeal, okay? So I poo oatmeal and I fart brown sugar, so just to let
and
you know.
Also, yeah, I'm going to take into account this if we ever walk home at any time. You have a story for every time that you end up walking home.
Oh, do I?
Well, the last time you walked home, you were pooped by the homeless man.
Oh, yes, that's true.
You puked a brick of oatmeal. What else has happened on a walk home?
Oh, anything my gosh. Good? We'll save that for the next one.
No. Tell me one more thing. Are you in a hurry? Run?
No.
Like what was a really fun day, just a fun day on Below Deck, like where everything went right. It doesn't have to do with anybody.
Pretty much
days?
Every day was a fantastic day. Like I honestly felt like pretty good every day. The only time that was not a good day was the first time I got drunk in that hot tub because I literally blacked out and I woke up in the morning. And so that's a behind the scenes thing where the whole day I was like, oh my sweet Jesus. Like, I don't know what I did to Adam or what I said. And like, I know myself and it was probably something mortifying. And, so yeah, I spent the whole day in extreme anxiety. But yeah, probably the best day was the day that we had off. And what you didn't see, I'll tell you a little side note.
Where were you at?
It was all around Corfu, but we went to, a little like beach resort. So mm-hmm. I will tell you, a little background thing that you didn't see on camera. At one point, Adam and I, cause like there's never any time that you can actually have a conversation off camera. And my whole thing was like, does Adam actually have these feelings for me or is it, all made up for camera? Turns out it was all made up for camera. But at the time, I don't know if that's true, but we said, we're just going to go on a quick little paddle boat ride or paddle board ride. So we got on a stand up paddle board and we paddled out and the camera guys were like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. We have to get in, chase them because they need to know, like they can't let us be alone for a second because then something's going to come up. Right. And the second we paddled away and nobody was listening, I was like, oh my God, let's air everything. So are these feelings real? And he was like, yes, they are. I wanted to know the same thing for you. And I was like, yes, they are. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so happy to hear that. And he was like, me too. Oh my God. And then we like kissed and it was like this really magical moment because it just felt like, I don't know, it was just like this real moment where we had a moment where nobody was listening and it didn't, you know, nothing seemed like it was for a camera. And I could tear up just thinking about it. But I'll just throw up a brick of oatmeal instead.
You know, I have a fair share of reality TV experience myself.
Oh, really?
And I've always noticed that they are not noticed, but it's just a known thing that they can't film you in the bathroom. It's pretty much the only thing off limits, you know?
Well,
like,
Below Deck has a rule. So
okay, they do?
They cannot film you in the bathroom. There's no mics or there's no like no film crew goes in there unless there's two of you in there, or there, if there's
okay,
if there's more than one person,
that was going to be my question.
So if there's more than one person, they're allowed in. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yep. So that's the rule.
Cool.
Yes, there are rules everywhere in life, and we'll leave you with that. Thank you again for listening. We sincerely appreciate it. Tune in next week for more comedy and hopefully more laughter, less tears. Have a great day.